Ways. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Be nice if I get myself potted up. Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, hour number two. We had a great first hour. Barry Smith, of course, live from Green Bay, the frozen tundra, as he prepares for the Bucks and the Packers tomorrow, and that'll be a great game. Last time, as I mentioned, tough one for us Packer fans as the Bucks came in and stole the NFC Championship to advance and win the Super Bowl. And you remember that as a young Green Bay as a young Tampa Bay Buck fan. I was down here. This place went nuts, and I was kind of pleased for the Bucks fans, but at the same time,
yeah, that was absolutely awesome. Seeing your team win the Super Bowl, and especially when as long as I've been a Bucks fan, they were terrible, but then we get Tom Brady and everything changes, and going to Green Bay, beating them in a cold environment. And then returning home for the Super Bowl was really awesome.
That was a great time down here, Fergs. In fact, tomorrow we have the Bucks watch party. 104 televisions. Come on down. The weather will be a little dicey, so come on down to Fergs, hang out, and watch any one of your favorite teams. We've got some NFL action today, Joe, as well as six bowl games.
Yeah, so the bowl games right now, the first bowl game was that Myrtle Beach Bowl. It is about midway through the second quarter now, and it is 10-0 Ohio in the Myrtle Beach Bowl over Georgia Southern. FAMU and Howard have kicked off in the Cricket Celebration Bowl. Once again, 2:15, Jacksonville State, Louisiana. That's in the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl on ESPN. App State, Miami, Ohio. That's the Cure Bowl in Orlando on ABC. New Mexico State versus Fresno State at 5:45 in the New Mexico Bowl. At 7:30, UCLA versus Boise State in the LA Bowl. And then Cal and Texas Tech at 9:15 in the Radiance Tech Independence Bowl. And then NFL coming up in about an hour. It is the Vikings versus Bengals at 4:30. We have the Steelers and the Colts, and the nightcap on this Saturday night is the Broncos and the Lions over on NFL Network.
All right, great job. That's brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka and, of course, Sea Dogs Brewery and Shipyard Brewing. Jake Perper's on the line now, brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor and Coca-Cola. It's the Sunbash Holiday Classic, and you've been a busy man, young man, and at the end of the month, you're going to be busy again up at Northside Christian. Looking forward to calling those games for you guys as we did last year, and let's talk about your lineup, the days that they tip off, and the location, and great to have you back on the airwaves.
Yeah, first off, I always appreciate you having me on. Kind of catching my breath this week. Had events in Jacksonville and Miami the weekends before. So, yeah, Tampa Bay, seventh year, hits off Thursday, December 28th, and wraps up on the 30th. We'll have 24 games, 8 games a day at Northside Christian over in St. Pete, not too far from where you are right now. We got 3 teams from out of state between Maryland, North Carolina, and Kentucky, and then teams from all over the state, and then obviously the mix of local between Pinellas and Hillsborough County.
Hey, is Charlie Ward bringing his gang down this year again?
They will not be in the Tampa Bay event. They're coming to Orlando next month, but I was looking forward to them coming back, but they got something else going on, so that's okay. But we do have a pretty strong slate of teams. Two teams from down in the Miami area between Lake Worth and Coral Glades. Gateway Charter returns from Fort Myers. And like I said, Providence is coming. They'll be the Jacksonville team. And then we'll have a team from Orlando in Windermere High School, which is always a really good program. So I'm looking forward to having those two teams, especially because they're always really, really well-coached teams with good athletes. So it'll be a good mix. It starts at 10 a.m. every day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, December 28th through the 30th.
Well, I know last year it was certainly an eye-opener for me, not realizing the being from the Midwest, and we discussed this. I typically assimilate football prowess and baseball down here, and I thought that, you know, basketball was the redheaded stepchild, and it kind of is from an exposure and a coverage standpoint as you look at the media. But my God, there's some athletes in the state on the hardcore, man.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah, 100%. I mean, you should have seen the games in Miami, especially the last one we had in Miami-Norland, which is always a powerhouse program, you know, and then they were going up against Matter Lakes, who won the 4A state title last year, actually beating Gibbs in the semis to get to the state title. So they went up at it, and it was a packed gym down there in Miami and just athletes all over the place. The referees, you know, you got three referees, and it was kind of hard for them to keep up, so... luckily they got some college guys down there doing the officiating, but, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun week. I'm looking forward to it. I feel refreshed after kind of this weekend off. And then, I'll be heading to City of Palms on Monday to do some coverage before, you know, Tampa comes the week after. So.
Hey, let's go back and give our audience a little history of Jake Perper and, your commitment to high school basketball and how your company, how you launched the Sunbash product, if you will, events, and the other things that you've got your finger on the pulse in the world of basketball with your platform and how you got here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, kind of a brief background: sport management major at University of Tampa, 2013 graduate. Worked for newspapers between Naples and Tampa and Fort Myers for a little while, and then. Worked for a company called Prep Hoops from late 2015 to early last year, 2022. Was their Florida scout, ran events, covered as many athletes as possible. And in that time, started the Sunbash in late 2017, started at Carolwood Day. That was the first year. Was lucky enough, and I tell you this all the time, lucky enough to have Anthony Edwards and a couple other really good teams that came down that first year. And then late last year in August, I started my company, the Hoop Vibe, which the Sunbash kind of falls under, and a couple other events that I run throughout the year. So just trying to keep busy, trying to get kids exposure and help them get to the next level with the platform that I'm doing.
Well, I would tell you, audience, kind of comparable to my my 25 plus years of covering high school sports, it is a labor of love, Jake, and I applaud you because we know that we're not making big bank doing this, but there's a need for it. In this big time media world we live in right now, high school sports gets pushed to the back burner many times, and unfortunately. It's sad because the rich tradition in the schools, regardless of the sport, are good for the community. They're good for the pride and the passion in the hallways and the schools. So there's so many other outlying things besides the sports, and a lot of outlying areas that aren't about the guys that are going D1. It's the team camaraderie. It's the friendships for lifetimes. There's so many things that reaching and helping high school exposure touches, and I know at young age you're at, you get it. Very few guys your age get it, how important it is.
100%.
And I've been promoting it for, as I said, almost 30 years, and I'm not going to discontinue till I'm in the ground.
No, I got you. I mean, for me, the high school stuff, like I've covered sports at all levels between newspapers and internships and other jobs, but the pureness of high school sports, especially when it comes to basketball, the appreciation, the relationships that you build with the coaches and the players, and seeing them going on and do great things, and whether they're playing basketball the next level or just, you know, becoming professionals, that appreciation is pretty incredible. So,
well, you obviously, I'm sure you pay a little attention to what's going on in the. In the local state universities at the Division I level, and of course Florida's is off to a great start and looks superb. I guess I got to ask you, because I've always been a huge fan of Leonard Hamilton at FSU, and what I've liked is his team concept, playing, you know, 8, 9, 10 guys, then advancing guys into the number one draft pick rotations and a lot of success they has. What do you think's going on at Florida State? Is it the portal that's killing every other sport? Is it Leonard's long in the tooth and he's been there a while? What do you think it is? Any idea?
Yeah, I mean, I think the portal is definitely something. I mean, you look at some of these other teams that made it to the Final Four last year, like Fairleigh Dickinson and some of those other teams. And, you know, they got guys that are 25, 26 years old still playing college basketball, so it's a huge advantage. I mean, at some point, you're not going to be as good. They were lucky and fortunate to have, you know, the Scotty Barneses of the world, the Balsa. Forget what his last name is, but he was at Montford. Now he's a G League player. They had some really good talent over the last few years, and kind of what you alluded to, Leonard is getting up there in age, and you got to wonder when seasons like this happen if he's going to be around much longer on the sidelines. But I mean, I know they've done a great job. I've been very close and connected with Stan Jones for years, his top assistant. He's a fantastic human being and does a great job. We did have a coach from FSU at the Miami event last weekend, so that was pretty awesome. Kevin Nickelberry, he just got in there from LSU. So, I mean, hopefully they can turn it around, but the age thing, you got to wonder there. And, you know, it's definitely not good for Florida State basketball, considering how good the football team's been.
Well, another factor, Jake, and it's happening, I know, in the world of football, the coaches I talked to, whether I just had a conversation with the head coach, just won the state championship over at Berkeley Prep. What's impacting these high school kids now is the portal. Because you've got these staffs focusing on where they can find another athlete through the portal process. They're more mature. There's arguments on both sides of this topic. But it's sad that the chaos of NCAA sports right now is now also having an impact, a hard impact, on high school athletes, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, across the board.
Yeah, I mean, the portal is always going to be a prevalent thing now because of the NIL money that's come in. That's kind of opened it up more, and you know, teams are just stacking players. I mean, Kentucky football all of a sudden is like pretty relevant, and they're taking players from Alabama and Georgia and all these things. But I mean, what'd you say?
That's my buddy Mark Stoops. He played at Iowa. I know him well. Oh, he's doing a great job. Yep.
Yeah, no, they're doing awesome things over there. But the point I was going to make is, and I tell kids all the time, is the regulation from post-COVID, we're close to being there. COVID screwed up a lot of things for high school basketball players that aren't in the 1, 2, 3%. And they wound up kind of getting stuck or going to a JUCO or going to a fifth-year prep school and just kind of wondering if they're going to get there. And the point you made was great. And unfortunately, it's probably going to continue to happen. Is if I'm a college program and my job is on the line year to year, it's kind of hard to not take a kid who has film on against really good players. He averaged a lot of points, and he's a physical player when you're trying to take a chance on a high school kid who not that many other people had offered. You know, again, the 1, 2, 3% guys that everyone's offering, they're physical, and they translate to the next level. Those are no-brainers. But a local kid from, you know, Hillsborough, Pinellas County that, like, two or three teams have offered, they're a little – it's your job's on the line. And I don't think high school kids, I don't think high school parents completely understand that concept. It's like, why don't I get an offer? Why am I? Well, their job is on the line, and they can't take a chance when they're also trying to go after and win games every year. And you got JUCO kids that have a lot of good tape, and you got Division II guys that are moving up to D1. So,
well, a sad factor though also is if a guy has gone through the portal a couple of times, that should be some sort of a red flag too. I don't think some of these coaches take that into consideration. They're just looking at the delivery on the field or on the court. And a lot of times that's not program building, which I don't know if program building is even a statement anymore from a longevity standpoint. You know, it's as you said, who was recruited the best and gotten the most money these days?
Yeah, I mean, it's really free agency if you think about it. It's almost like the NBA. I mean, I've heard from this summer I was traveling a lot for AAU tournaments, and I would talk to different level Division I coaches, and some of them would say, I'd ask them about NIL. I said, how's that going? How's that go? You know, when you can bring a recruit on campus, and they say the first question they ask them typically is, how much NIL money can I get? That's just the era of what's going on. But some of the schools really don't have that much money. And then you go to a different school and they're the same level, but they got a guy funding them. And all of a sudden you're talking big money and that kid's going to go there instead. You know, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to keep happening. And it's kind of unfortunate, but to your point, I think it's more of a wild, wild west type free agency that we're kind of going through in the college world right now. And hopefully the next few years, it kind of regulates and they figure something out, but it's definitely hurting the high school kids. That's for sure.
Well, that's the exact term that was used on ESPN. This is about a year ago, that it's the wild, wild west, and the NCAA doesn't know how to get their arms around it. And I guess we'll just have to see how it will pan out. So let's do another promo. I'll see you obviously here in another. Louise, we're looking now at about 13 days. I'll see you then. But let's do another promo for the Sun Bash up there at Northside Christian.
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
All right. What time do the doors open, and how do they find the website?
Yeah, so games start at 10 a.m. December 28th, and each day as well, 10 a.m., sunbashtourney.com, or on Instagram, sunbashtourney, or Twitter as well, sunbashtourney. So follow along. The games tip at 10 a.m. December 28th, 8 games a day.
All right, my man. Looking forward to it. That's an exciting area, an arena, I guess, if you will, a small arena. And Doug does a superb job up there at Northside Christian and is a wonderful host. So if you're a high school basketball fan, it's a must-go, too. He's Jake Perper, kind enough to take time to join us to promote the Sun Bash. And right now, why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back. We'll have a little conversation with Brad Richardson. And Brad's going to give us a little update on the Seminole alumni. I think he'll get a kick out of that, Joe. Ben's going home. He's probably icing his arm after a couple of pitches. All right, we'll take a break here on Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Halftime's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. Get the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
The Hippie Shack is St. Pete Beach's newest eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint, located at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the Treasure Island Intercoastal. The Hippie Shack is open daily at 11 a.m., providing a 60s and 70s vibe with live music every day of the week. Our comfort food and creative menu will take you back to the 60s and 70s with our themed daily great drink specials. The Hippie Shack is the grooviest and coolest new eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint, the Farrowed and Peace-Spreading Hippie Shack, 9655 Blind Pass Road on the water at St. Pete Beach. Don't be a square. We'll see you there.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, raised bucks and lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster Benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the Dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, we're up here on the 19th hole, the simulator of this soggy Saturday, keeping dry. I've got my young protege across from me. Does a superb job, and that's Joseph Geiger. Had a great show so far. We've had live from Green Bay up there at Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra where the Bucks will be doing battle against the Green Bay Packers. Both must-win games for both of these franchises. And we took a little trip down memory lane of Barry going there from Florida State as a number one draft pick and then coming back here and playing for his beloved Bucks in the expansion era. And a gentleman that knows everything about the world of the Bucks and the Rays, and he does a superb job, one of the best in the business, certainly in the Tampa Bay arena, and that is Peter Blake. And, you know, the Rolex man had another interesting evening, and we're going to let him share some stories with us. What's up, brother?
What's going on, buddy? How you doing? Yeah, I didn't get in until about 3:30 in the morning from Orlando. It was definitely an interesting night, as always. To cover a Jake Paul fight, that's for sure.
So, who did Jake fight? How did he look? How was the crowd? Well, I did see a video.
Yeah, I mean, it was like 2,000 people there. Was at a little resort in Orlando. So they did a good job. It was packed to the gills. I think the actual intro was longer than the fight itself, because the fight lasted 2 minutes and 32 seconds with the first round knockout. And I mean, if you see this knockout, if you see this uppercut by Paul, it's amazing. I mean, it definitely has power, that's for sure. And it was Andre August, and he didn't last very long. In fact, he was probably sent back into next or last August with that hit that Paul put on him.
Where'd they find this? I used to be in the world of boxing for 30 years. Where'd they find this tomato can, as we call them, down there on Church Street, and just pulled him in for the fight?
I have no idea. I mean, listen, I think Jake wants to, you know, he wants to learn his craft more, and that's what he was talking about. That was the theme of the night. He wants to go back to the old problem child, which means, you know, with power, and he wants to box, and he wants to learn his craft, and they felt like at MVP Promotions that this would be the best thing for them to do. I haven't heard of the guy, but, you know, he had a 10-1-1 record coming in, so he has won. And, you know, this is a proving ground. Do I know him? No. It was on the zone. I don't know that much more about him. And to tell you right now, again, the intro and the press conference, I mean, the intro was probably the best part of the night. But the press conference before, no excitement at all by this guy. He didn't say anything. I was like, okay, he's not saying anything. He's not talking any trash. He's basically done.
Well, it certainly wasn't a Rocky theme type with Mr. T as far as
no.
The
no, it wasn't Clubber Lang, that's for sure. Well, it wasn't definitely that.
I was trying to come up with a great thing. Clubber Lang. But if he wants to hone his craft, going a round and a half is certainly not going to give him some more advanced experience in the ring. But that's neither here nor there. He's a great entertainer. He's making millions. And share with our audience, if they're not familiar with your cool experience with him and why you continue to want to follow him. And then we'll shift gears and we'll talk Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, I went to my first boxing match about 3 years ago at Amalie Arena, a part of Big Fight Weekend, and of course the Sports Web, the evolution of sports talk television. I got in 3 good questions, and I swear to God, my first boxing match, and then I asked him the last question, are you going to continue to give opposing fighters Rolexes? Because he gave Tyron Woodley a Rolex, and he said, it's time to knock you out, which he did in the 6th round, which was tremendous. And he goes, oh, I don't know, I've done some crazy things before. I'll tell you what, how about this? How about I give you a Rolex? Do you want a Rolex? Ask me my name 2 days later while I'm on live television doing my show after the Bucks lost to the Saints, because I didn't get any sleep. And then I got woken up throughout the night and the morning. Just, I was told by relatives, you went viral on TikTok. The guy calls me, his manager, and says, we got a Rolex for you. We got your information. Live on my show, and we're going to send you out the Rolex. Sure enough, 2 days later, right before Christmas, he sends me a $20,000 Rolex, Datejust 41, with the sign box. Peter from Jake.
Folks, I have witnessed. I have seen the Rolex.
Yeah. And then I was going around last night, and people knew who I was right when I walked in. They're like, oh, you're the Rolex reporter. I'm like, yeah, what's going on, buddy? How you doing? I'm back again. I don't know how you can top that, honestly. I don't know how you can. You go to this press conference and ask these great questions and great sound bites, but how can you top getting a Rolex the first time? So you can't. So
you can't. You can't, Peter. But I'd be a bit concerned that the Rolex guy could get rolled because, in fact, they know you have a $20,000 timepiece. You might want to get like a backup that looks like one when you go to those boxing cards, because I put plenty of them on. And not to say that it's a unique group of people, but it might be a little dicey wearing a $20,000 Rolex on your wrist.
Maybe so, but you know, I'm so likable. I don't even think they'd want to mess with me in the first place, and I'm so unassuming. I don't walk up to anybody and say, "Hey, I'm the Rolex reporter." I just walk up to the people that I know. Right.
Except for chicks and bars. That's a good opener.
There you go. I mean, it's a great opening line. It's a great icebreaker. I mean, how many people? And you would be surprised. Like people, are like, "Oh, Jake Paul, okay." And then there's people who go, "I hate that guy. Why are you telling me this? Everybody has a story. I'm just trying to tell you. I don't want to hear this. I want to hear what I got to say. All right, I'll listen to you then. You got a much more interesting story than getting 20,000 Rolex from a guy who has 20 million subscribers on YouTube or more. Come on, man.
Is that his number right now? 20 million subscribers?
It's probably over that, honestly. I mean, it's worldwide. That place was going bananas last night when he came out. And he came out to the old Christmas song there, doing the Kevin McAllister Home Alone dance. I'm not joking. You have to watch it. Oh. I got the video up there.
One of my favorites of all time. Now I'm really kind of getting on his side. Plus, I love coming from the state of Iowa, you know, where our claim to fame is wrestling. I love the fact that he was a successful wrestler and then made this transition, Jake Paul.
Well, he was actually his brother Logan has made the transition, because he went like 29-0 as a boxer, and now he's a U.S. champion for WWE. And of course, they are coming to town in January at Tropicana. I was going to ask that question, but actually, yeah. But somebody actually asked the question if he would be at WrestleMania. But his brother has actually transitioned from being a boxer to now being a wrestler for WWE. Now, the talk about Jake is not only does he want to box, but he also wants to get into an MMA type of ring where he makes $5 to $7 million, and he thinks he can do that, which, again, he's going to sell it. And say whatever you want to about Jake Paul and his skills or his opponents, but you can absolutely see what he's trying to do. He's trying to not only bring light to, you know, fighters that are not getting paid enough money by the promoters, because he basically said in his conference last night the promoter is dead, but he's also trying to do his own thing, and you have to appreciate that. Say whatever you want to about the guy, but he's definitely kind of a genius.
Well, there's a young man, young compared to me, everybody is, but there's a young man over in Tampa, Christopher Young. I don't know if your paths have ever crossed, and he is an accomplished referee. He's in the Florida Boxing Hall of Fame, and a great cat. Wow. He's been on the show several times, and we shared boxing stories, and he's committed to the sweet science. Well, he was not a big fan of his until he sat down and talked to him, and he requested, I think the fight was in Miami, and he requested he met him at the event that you were at, and when you got to Rolex, and so he did an undercard or something like that. Anyway, Christopher, and he asked him to come down to, because he'd won, asked him to come down to Miami and fight. And from that day on, Christopher Young has been a huge fan. And he said, here's the reason why, Mike, because you and I are both fans of the sweet science, and we think it's a mockery. And MMA, of course, is destroying our fan base. He said he is bringing eyeballs back to boxing. And Mike Tyson said the same thing. He said, say what you want about my friend. He said he's bringing the eyeballs back that we have lost to poor governorship. Reminds you of the NCAA. And he said that's why he's a big fan. And he was at that event last night, probably. I see he didn't do the fight. Was that a female official, referee?
I don't know if it was or not. I think it was. I think it may have been.
Oh, it's a long ass point.
The fight was, again, the fight was so fast. It started up and then it ended like 2 minutes 30 seconds. So I barely got a chance to even sit down. I mean, the whole crowd was standing up in the first place. It was standing room only. Everybody was standing up. to see it, and everybody was expecting it because all week long he predicted a first-round knockout, and exactly what happened. And he even said the guy, August's footwork was so sloppy that it was going to happen, and sure enough, it happened.
I hate to tell you, and I promoted, you know, these are all chump change in the Midwest, Omaha, Kansas City, and Des Moines, but I promoted professional boxing and was involved in Golden Gloves. As a promoter, and Jake doesn't, and he doesn't care about this, as a promoter, the worst thing that can happen to you if you're expecting some revenue from the liquor sales, concessions, mm-hmm. is a first-round knockout. Oh, my God. It happened to me three times.
Yeah. That's crazy because August was actually a three-time Gold Gloves champion, believe it or not. That's what they were saying.
Well, he's lost his skills. All right, now, enough about that. That's a great story, and I appreciate you sharing it. But now let's talk a little bit about tomorrow's game up there in Lambeau. As I mentioned, Barry Smith, and I'm sure your paths have crossed. Barry Smith called in, and we had a nice conversation. He was a former number one draft pick back in the day. Bart Starr was his head coach. He still loved Green Bay, but, you know, his heart's here in Tampa, and he's a Miami native.
Love it.
But
nice.
Your prognostication on tomorrow's game?
It's going to be a tough game. I think the Bucs can win this game, but again, they have to do what they've done the last couple of weeks, which is run the ball. And, you know, Rashad White has, you know, had 84 yards of rushing in the last couple of games here, about three games consecutive. So if they can do that, I feel like they definitely have a chance because the Packers, you know, defending the run are what, 31st in the National Football League? So that's the matchup you have to expose. Now, coming into it, you're going to be without Carlton Davis. You're going to be without Vita Vea. You may be without Jamel Dean. So there's a lot of injuries on this team, even Chris Godwin, who's a game-time decision. So somebody's going to definitely have to step up, and that includes Baker Mayfield. Let's just face it, the last couple of games, he hasn't been as accurate. He hasn't necessarily played his best football. But the thing that you have to look at with him and Atlanta playing them, he didn't turn over the ball. So if your quarterback doesn't turn over the ball, you play good enough defense, and you can run the ball and keep the clock running and keep time of possession, can beat anybody. I think they can definitely go to Green Bay, but it's going to definitely be a tough matchup with Jordan Love and that offense playing better. I was surprised they lost to the Giants on Monday Night Football, honestly. That team was hot. They were getting hot, and they were getting more confident, including that young quarterback in Love.
I'm a diehard Green Bay Packer fan, and I thought I was going to – I was nauseous watching that game because when we went ahead, I texted my son in Denver, who's the same, and I said, nice W. Yeah, nice W for Tommy DeVito.
Danny DeVito, right? I mean, it's an unbelievable story. He's still living with his mom and dad. Yeah.
He still lives at home. He doesn't have a girlfriend. Has never drank a beer. And I said, Danny DeVito just beat us, humiliated us on national television.
Yeah, yeah. And he has an agent there with the black hat. I mean, what, we're watching The Sopranos again? I mean, he had that on the sideline there. His mom and his whole family are serving chicken cutlets outside for the tailgate. I mean, it's just a great story for the Giants. And then you look at New York's situation and what they signed Daniel Jones for, like $40 million. He's been completely disappointing. Now, has he had all the help at the end of the day with the offensive line? Definitely not, but maybe they found something here. And then with Green Bay, you being a Green Bay fan and knowing about quarterbacks, where it's going with Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, do you feel like Jordan Love is the right guy? Because if he is, you know, the Packers are the blueprint for developing a quarterback. The Bucs need to take notice on how to develop a young quarterback if this kid turns out to be what they want him to be.
Well, I would tell you that I started getting on his bandwagon. And, again, I hope they do. You know, Watson, he's a plant graduate. He was injured on Monday night. But I hope they do what they didn't do for Aaron and get a couple marquee wide receivers for this kid to work with. I mean, there was quite a few drops as well. I like his composure. He has a lot of tendencies. I suppose if you watched him for 3 years, he has a lot of tendencies like Aaron Rodgers. He's mobile. I think he is the future.
Yeah, I think he's the future too, and I think that's what the Packers want. Of course, that's the reason why you make him a first-round pick in the first place. And I love Christian Watson. The Tampa Tornado, of course, local kid. He's got to get more consistent with his hands. But, you know, he's a wide receiver, can definitely blow the top off of that defense. And if he can, you know, hone in his craft and catch the ball consistently and stay healthy, which I'm not sure if he's healthy or not this week, that's a dangerous weapon there that the Packers got. And, of course, they got Dobbs also. So he's got to put more weapons around him, and that also includes a running game. So I'm trying to figure out what the Packers are. They're banged up coming into this game, too. They're susceptible on defense. So right now, I would say even with all the Bucs injuries and all the Packer injuries, it's a toss-up. And will weather be a factor? We'll see. You know, for years, the Bucs had problems with playing in cold. I think they got over that with beating Philadelphia. But, you know, it's a thing. It's definitely a thing you have to watch. And you know what travels with bad weather or cold weather? The running game. If you can run the ball with White, you can establish that run. Baker doesn't turn over the ball, and you can play good enough defense to stop them, you could probably go in there in Green Bay and win that game.
Well, we just got done talking to Barry, as I mentioned, and he gave us a weather report. 43 degrees. That's a freaking heat wave right now in Green Bay from someone that's been there numerous times. So the cold factor should not be a factor, even though it's, you know, probably 30 degrees lower than they're expecting, they're used to here at Tampa and indoors. But it won't be that big a factor, and that's kind of what the temperatures were when they beat the Packers in 2020 to advance to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think it was actually a little bit cooler than that, believe it or not. And what happened? They got off to a great start. Who could forget Tom Brady getting the ball out to Mike Evans for that quick touchdown, and that really set the tone. And you know, I don't know what happened to Tom Brady in that second half with all the turnovers, but they were very fortunate that day the defense picked it up. But you're exactly right. And you go back to the 80s and 90s, you're talking about history. You remember a lot of Bucs teams going up there and just saying, listen, they have no chance, because you could see guys and they're all bundled up and they're just not looking like they want to be there. You know, if this team is physical, this team is ready for the challenge, and they want to be, you know, a playoff team, they're going to have to go into these type of environments and they're going to have to win games. So, you know, it's going to be a measuring stick for them on Sunday. Make no mistake, Green Bay is also 6-7. Record-wise, it may not necessarily look like a great game, but both of these teams are fighting for their playoff lives.
Well, Peter Blake, I appreciate you taking time. You need to get back and take a little nappy. Jeez Louise, 3:30 in the morning. How do people find you? You do a superb job. You've got a circle of very solid broadcasters, prognosticators, and analysts. And then we got our buddy, Crazy Ray Kennedy, who I love, and he just won't get off the Kyle Trask bandwagon.
I'm telling you, and I feel like eventually if the Bucs do are out of this playoff chase, he's going to get a chance to start, but I don't think they're going to be out of this playoff chase. Yeah, find me at the Sports Web, the Evolution of Sports Talk Television, Monday, Wednesday, and after every Bucs game for a post-game show with phone calls, even on the field. But there's the only streaming show that's on Raymond James Field is the Sports Web, so definitely tune into that. And then also, I don't know if you heard this, but the J.P. Peterson Show every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 12. Go friend me at Peter H. Blake on Facebook. Love the follows, man, and love the opportunity, as always, Mike, to talk to you here on this great show.
You and J.P. Peterson, a dynamic duo and a plethora of sports information in the Bay. So bravo on that that alliance, and I'll be talking to you soon, my friend. Hopefully we in 2024 can form some kind of an alliance. He's Peter Blake, and that's brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and, of course, Sea Dogs, where they're serving breakfast daily. And right now, Joe, I mean, that was pretty interesting conversation regarding the boxing deal.
Yeah, no,
can you imagine a Rolex watch?
I mean, that's pretty nice watch, I'd say.
For $20,000
free, and you go viral for it. I mean, pretty good deal there.
One more time, go over the games here today, and then update USF and UCF.
Yeah, so Georgia Southern and Ohio, that game is coming out of the second half right now. Ohio leads 17-0 in the Myrtle Beach Bowl. The Cricket Celebration Bowl between Howard and Florida A&M, Howard actually leads that game 14-0 early on. R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, that's at 2:15, Jacksonville State, Louisiana. The Cure Bowl in Orlando between App State and Miami of Ohio, that's at 3:30. 5:45, New Mexico State versus Fresno State in the New Mexico Bowl, UCLA versus Boise State in the LA Bowl at 7:30, and then tonight's the Independence Bowl between Cal and Texas Tech. And then on December 21st, USF plays Syracuse in the Boca Raton Bowl over at Florida Atlantic Stadium. And then here in Tampa on December 22nd, it's UCF versus Georgia Tech over at the Gasparilla Bowl at Raymond James Stadium.
I think it was last year I counted that there are 8 bowl games in the state of Florida, 8 or 9 bowl games in the state of Florida, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, though, there's 2 in Tampa. There's like 3 or 4 in Orlando. There's a couple in Miami.
There's one in Jacksonville, too, isn't there?
Yeah, the Gator Bowl's in Jacksonville.
Gator Bowl's been around since I was your age, and that's 1,000 years ago, young man. But we also got 3 pro games this weekend, too, starting today.
Yeah, we got the Bengals-Vikings. Let me pull it up. Bengals-Vikings, that game's at 1 o'clock. Steelers-Colts at 4:30, and then Broncos-Lions, 8 o'clock on the NFL Network.
And tomorrow, 1 o'clock, is, of course, the Tampa Bay Bucks. We're efforting Brandi Winans right now, and hopefully we can catch up with her. And we're waiting for a report from Brad Richardson.
Can't wait to hear that.
I'm sure you can. So let's lighten it up a little bit. Yesterday, what did you say the number one movie in Christmas you guys selected?
I selected Christmas Vacation. I believe Gavin selected I don't even remember. Must not have been very good.
Polar Express? No,
I think he liked one of the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, maybe.
No way.
The Claymation one. There was some controversy in that segment. Go check it out on the Radio St. Pete archives.
There was some controversy there. Okay, so let's talk about your Florida State. I'm efforting Brandi. I'm sorry, I lost my focus, which is easy. Let's talk about FSU, Georgia. Your perspective, realistically, what's going to take place?
It's going to be probably a matter of who wants it more. Because, you know, with the transfer portal thing already beginning, and I know I haven't caught much on Georgia, but I know a couple Seminoles have already hit the portal, and I know Johnny Wilson, one of our stand route receivers, he's already declared for the NFL draft and will not play in the Orange Bowl. But one of our corners, Jarian Jones, one of our better corners, he is declaring for the draft, but he will play in the Orange Bowl. So, I mean, it's going to be a matter of really who gets up and plays in that game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout like people think, even with our backup quarterback. I still think the Noles have a great defense, and they're going to at least keep it close and hopefully find a way to win up in Miami.
Are you guys planning on going?
No, I don't think so.
I can't believe that. You're that disappointed.
Well, it's not that we're disappointed. It's just, with Christmas right now, it's kind of a hard time to get up there, and we don't really have a place to stay. So,
yeah, and that's a good point. All right, so what's on board for Christmas for you guys, the fam?
Well, usually we have a we're actually going to a Christmas party tonight at my aunt and uncle's house up near Tampa. They do a big white elephant gift exchange where you pick a random gift in the middle and then you try and trade throughout. So that's fun. And we usually have a Christmas cookie night where we decorate cookies with my mom's side of the family. And then Christmas Eve, we go to my...
You guys are the Griswolds, man.
Christmas Eve.
I love it.
Christmas Eve, we usually do something at my aunt's and uncle's, my dad's side, so his sister. And we open gifts from them. And then Christmas morning, we host a bunch of family over and open gifts and have breakfast with everybody. And we watch Christmas Vacation.
And you watch Christmas Vacation?
Yeah. Usually how it goes every year.
Well, that is a superb. Okay, let's go over the NFL lineup tomorrow.
Got handing me the newspaper here.
Well, you don't have it on your phone do you?
Well, I mean, I can get it, but this works too. We got tomorrow, it's Sunday. We got the Saints versus the Giants, the Jets versus the Dolphins, Browns take on the Bears, the Packers versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Titans-Texans, the Chiefs versus the Patriots, Falcons-Panthers, 49ers-Cardinals, Bills-Cowboys, Rams-Commanders, Ravens-Jaguars, and then on Monday Night Football, we got the Seattle Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles.
And, of course, Bucks Watch Party down here tomorrow as well. As I said, we are efforting Brandywine, so we'll talk a little bit about it, but I'll do a little promo. I'll do a little promo for her event. It's the Leonard and George Levy Charity Golf Classic. And sorry we lost a little momentum there at the end because for some reason none of these numbers are going through. And technology, maybe it's the rain, maybe it's the humidity. Anyway, the Leonard and George Levy Charity Golf Classic. It is February 19th. It's at Carrollwood Country Club, and that's a great track. That's where we had the NFL Super Bowl of golf. And yeah, it's the Sports Club of Tampa Bay.com. And we've got Gary Cook. He's going to be on the T Florida here in the next few weeks. He will be the spokesperson, and he's going to win he won the 2023 Payne Stewart Award. So Gary Cook will be there, and he's going to be on the T Florida. I'm looking forward to that as well. Of course, we got a little college volleyball action over at Amalie Arena. And that would have been a cool event to get to it. We had someone in the house that is a Nebraska fan. She just ran downstairs, or I'd grab her. And she's been at the events. And it's Texas. It's a Big 12 matchup. It was Georgia. I'm sorry. It was Wisconsin and Pitt in the Final Four in Nebraska and Texas, two opponents that know each other. It promises to be a great event over there. Now, hot stove. Any other changes that you've seen that have taken place? Juan Soto going to the Yankees. You high on that?
I mean, I think somebody on the Yankees will get hurt in the middle of the year, and then they'll go on a downward slump. I don't know. The Yankees just careers go to. Careers have seemed to go die there recently, and they haven't had much luck with big free agent signings recently, whether it's at the offseason or at the trade deadline. The player they wanted that's performed hasn't performed in Yankee Stadium in those pinstripes. So we'll see if Juan Soto can do it in that little league field they play in from the left-handed batter's box, but we'll see.
I thought, I thought that if you're going to do anything, you need arms. I mean, you got the Cy Young Award winner in Garrett Cole, but the bottom line is you don't. Arms win championships. Yeah. It's been proven. It was proven this year.
Yeah, with
along with offense.
Who got a Jordan Montgomery from the Yankees? So
exactly, and you take a look. If you take a look at this Rays lineup, what holes do you want to see filled for 2024?
Well, I would love to see. Hopefully a shortstop. If we don't have Wander Franco, I'm going to be honest, I don't know if I want Taylor Walls as our everyday shortstop. He hasn't been able to really hit the ball consistently for the Rays. And other than that, I think we're still going to have a pretty solid team, our outfield. I mean, I think a lot of trade talk right with Arozarena and Paredes, which I think would be a very dumb thing to do. Those two guys... big part of our offense last year and the last couple years. I don't think that's a smart move. So if they're still here, we got Randy, Siri, and Josh Lowe in left field, who had a great season last year. First base being Diaz and Paredes at third. Hopefully Brandon Lau can stay healthy at second. And then shortstop, you know, it's going to be up in the air. We had Junior Caminaro came up a little bit last year. We traded Brujan already, so he won't be there. We have Taylor Walls. It's going to be, I think, I don't want it to be like a carousel at shortstop, but I think if this whole Wander Franco thing doesn't work itself out, which it doesn't seem to be doing right now, then I think that the Rays are going to have a little carousel. And you could see Brandon Lau there sometimes. You could see Paredes there sometimes. You could see Taylor Walls there. or you might have to, I don't know, you might have to stick Yandy back at third, maybe move Paredes to second, maybe have to put Lau at short if we don't, and pick up a first baseman. I don't know, but I think we got to do something about that spot and definitely try and get a consistent bat that we know is going to hit for power, because the Rays bats in October have seemed to always go quiet, and we're going to need somebody, whether it's now or at the trade deadline if we're contending.
What are you hearing out of the camp regarding Wander Franco?
I'm not hearing much of anything.
I know. They've done a great job of keeping the lid on this.
Which I think is a problem. I mean, the last thing I heard is that he returned to the Dominican Republic. But
is that a positive?
I don't really know. I've never... I guess. I don't know. Because they won't let him play in the Dominican Winter League till the investigation's over here, so he can't even play in that.
He can't play in the Dominican League because they have not completed the process.
No, because I think that's somehow connected to Major League Baseball. So,
gotcha.
He can't play in that.
Hey, what'd you think of the we never talked about this. What'd you think about the Heisman?
I think Jaden Daniels had a great year, but if we're gonna look at the Heisman is, if you call it the best player or the most important player for the team or the most valuable player, I thought it was going to go to Penix just because he really led a Washington team to an undefeated season in one of the tougher conferences this year. But if we're looking at numbers, then yeah, I think Jaden Daniels did it. But according to the committee, if we're looking at the most valuable player, then it was Jordan Travis because, you know, he was so valuable that they left us out because he wasn't there. So, I mean, there are some options. I think, honestly, my pick would have been Penix, but I'm okay with the pick of Jay.
Well, he's a local cat, and that would have been my pick. And he was second in the voting. And, of course, he also his mobility, I thought, was crucial. I thought his leadership was great. He is a southpaw, though, right?
Yeah.
That a factor in the NFL of making a decision?
Yeah, I mean, you don't really see too many. I mean, you got Tua, but...
Who has come a long way since all of his naysayers, and I kind of like his story. He's a cool cat. Did you see him the other night? He was on, Jimmy Kimmel. And he plays the guitar.
Oh, does he?
Freaking outstanding.
Oh, I did see that. No, he was on the Peyton and Eli show.
Oh, it was the Peyton and Eli show. They talked about it.
He was on the Monday night thing.
Yeah, they talked about it on the Monday night thing. Yeah exactly. All right, so big game tomorrow for you guys?
Oh, huge game.
Break it down for our audience. This is how kind of fun we like to have on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We are having, I'm sorry, the last 10 minutes have been brutal. We're having a difficult time communicating with Brandy Winan from a numbers perspective, so we apologize. I did the promo for it. It's a golf tournament. We'll talk about it on the T Florida at length, and we'll get her on that show as well. But you've got a big game, and I'm sure you're nervous. I'm keeping here 2 hours where you could be kind of doing some prep, analyzing your game plan tomorrow.
I got game film to watch. I got plays to write out. It's the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Body Armor Bowl tomorrow between between me.
So you took our sponsors. They're going to be so excited that you actually tagged that. So it's tomorrow. We only got a minute.
Tomorrow at noon, me versus Gavin, our teams, our friends. He's been telling us that how good his people are.
All right, my man. Well, have fun.
We're going to prove it wrong.
For Jim Hart, Brad, of course, Richardson was going to call in, Wyatt Ross, Jay Davis, Alex Reba, Dan McCarney, Peter Gollenbach, Joe Berdrow, Madden Controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And, of course, Barry Smith, superb job there, Jake Perper. And thanks for listening. Have a championship weekend.